All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the American Vindicta Show. I'm your host, Doug Ford, and this is episode 118. We have today our usual guest, Bob Griswold from Ready Made Resources. Bob's got some updates today that we're going to just throw around and discuss a bunch of different topics. So without further ado, Bob, take it away.
How you doing, Doug, this morning? And thank you for having me on. It's always good to be here. You know, I was just doing a quick intelligence gathering just from memory of what we're facing right now in this, in the world and in the nation. And I'm just a few things. So if I was going to give a daily briefing, you know, we see that now they're admitting what it's 8.2% inflation, 12% inflation on food, which is probably actually double all of that because they just take so many things out of the inflation equation. So our nation is facing catastrophic equation. This is stealing from people on a level we can't even imagine. Trillions of dollars in purchasing power are disappearing right before most Americans' eyes. You know, we know that inflation is the greatest tax the government levies on people because it reduces their exposure in having to redeem the paper that they give out called dollar bills. So, you know, this inflation is helping them out. And we just see it wrecking American families right now. Not much we can do, especially people who live in cities. You know, my wife and I, we have some fairly big gardens out there, and I enjoyed some of my broccoli last night, fresh from the garden, and fruit and all that, which those are the things that are costing the most. They're dramatically going up. But also, we see the civil unrest brewing again. You know, from lockdowns now the liberal whack jobs are out violating federal law, threatening judges who will vote against abortion. You form a law enforcement. So if I went up to a federal judge and said, if you don't do what I want you to do, I'm going to injure you somehow, I would be arrested. Is that correct?
Well, we would definitely launch a investigation. We would come do what we'd call a knock and talk at your house. We'd go over the statement, spontaneous or not, that you made, and then we would be questioning the validity. And from there, we would gauge whether or not it warrants further investigation and or possible prosecution. But you're completely right, though. Part of a federal law, it's a felony to do this. You cannot threaten the president of the United States, the vice president, the speaker of the House, Congress, Senate. You cannot threaten the Supreme Court, and you cannot threaten the Joint Chiefs of Staff. But why is it that you have someone like Lori Lightfoot, who thinks it's completely okay to do it, and then she says, we're going to have a call to arms from the LGBTQ community.
Schumer did it.
Yeah, for me, we have to understand something. Someone in a place of power like Lori Lightfoot, all right, like her or not, she has influence. And there are people, as always, who are mentally unhinged, who literally go off of the words of these politicians and then will go out and commit these acts. We would call it a lone wolf attack, and that, you know, the reason for the attack was because of X, Y, and Z motive. Well, she's already came out with the motive. And Bob, the mere fact that the White House is saying it's okay to go to the Supreme Court Justice House and to protest, to threaten, to kill, to harm any of our justices is demonstratively absurd. But at the same time, they didn't care whenever Antifa was doing it to the police. They didn't care when Antifa was terrorizing the people of America. And now they don't care when they're doing it to the Supreme Court.
No, Antifa set up their own basic little city in Washington, remember?
Yeah,
and they had this little fiefdom. And if you were in that fiefdom, they drug people out of the house, raided their house, stole from them, sexually assaulted them, everything. But it is to try to intimidate a jury or judge as a federal law against it. And that's what we're trying to do, to get these people to change their opinion. And so, but nothing happens. Crickets. You don't hear a word about it. So that's just two things. We see the lawlessness on the left right now, just complete breakdown of any careful law whatsoever. The infrastructure of America is falling apart. You know, the $40 billion we just gave Ukraine, we don't spend that much on our roads and bridges and fixing it in the nation in 1 year. We don't even spend that money. And what about the veterans? What about the decay of our cities? I mean, it's just, we send it over there to protect their border, but while at the same time, our border is wide open, millions of people coming in with drugs, trafficking, children. I mean, you name it. If it's evil, they're doing it. I was listening to Ted Cruz interview some families in a Senate hearing, and he said, actually, the people that live near or on the border, if they have ranches or have their children, cannot go out by themselves unarmed. No. They have to carry guns.
Yeah.
Because it's that dangerous. And he said it's nothing to come across on the southern border of the United States and to find dead people laying all everywhere. I mean, they just die out there. They're killed out there or whatever. And so we have a border crisis. We have an inflation crisis. We have a civil unrest crisis. We definitely have a food crisis going on. We mentioned that. Right now we are precipitating World War III. I have this little document that was put out by the country of Finland. You know, Finland shares about an 800-mile border with Russia. And, you know, this is a provocation to war. We are offering Finland NATO membership, going into NATO, and that is the same thing for Vladimir Putin as what the Russians did to us in 1962 during the Cuban Missile Crisis. You know, we're going to put weapons on the Finnish border. I mean, they're not going to join NATO and not have weapons there. They're going to have weapons, and we don't know what kind, and neither will Vladimir Putin know. I know we put bioweapons labs on his southern border in Ukraine, so we don't know what we'll do in Finland on that border. We don't know. But Russia doesn't know either. And so here's what it says. You know, and even Barack Obama and Bill Clinton, two Democrats, knew you shouldn't do this. They knew you should not offer Ukraine NATO membership or Finland NATO membership. It was just too provocatory, too inflammatory. And yet this is what's happening right now. It says basically this is the president of Finland and the prime minister of Finland have come out with a joint statement. The time has been needed to close international contracts with NATO and its member countries, as well as with Sweden. And we have wanted to give the discussion space it required. Now that the moment of decision making is near, we state our appeals views also for the information that we've given to the parliamentary groups and parties. NATO membership would strengthen Finland's security. It would send shivers up Russia's spine. As a NATO member, Finland would strengthen the entire defense alliance. Finland must apply for NATO membership without delay. I mean, we don't. If you understand international politics, you understand the danger of what we're doing right now. Everything we're doing is to provoke a war. Joe Biden just the other day signed a document that basically Roosevelt signed it during World War II, the Lend-Lease. Did you see that? So that we now can ship all kinds, without having to sell it to them, without having to basically have congressional approval, we can start shipping billions of dollars worth of weapons into the Ukraine, in which now even Democratic senators are admitting. I watched one on Tucker Carlson come out and say, we are in a war with Russia and we're just using Ukraine as the proxy state to conduct that war. Well, I mean, that works well until Putin gets fed up with it and, you know, decides to escalate the war, which he could, and it could go either nuclear or a cyber war, which we see going on right now between Russia and Ukraine. There's a big cyber war going on. And, you know, Doug, you remember in the 60s, the term use them or lose them regarding nuclear weapons? See, cyber war is just like that. If the other side strikes first with a cyber war, it could shut down anything in the United States. We don't know what to do.
It is mutually assured destruction. It's a zero-sum game. I know quite a bit about critical infrastructure. When I was quasi under CISA, the Critical Infrastructure Agency, I learned quite a bit about this technical proficiency that our cyber warfare guys have. And it's scary. And I was telling Dave Hodges this last night. People don't understand cyber warfare. If our guys really wanted to do it, we could target a nuclear facility, hit it with enough DDoS attacks that we overload it, that we damaged the processing somehow, the fusion center. And from there, we take it into a critical meltdown. And we could use that as, instead of saying we're going to nuke you, we're just going to explode a nuclear facility. I mean, that capability is there. The capability is there to also hack any type of hydroelectric dam, shut it off, and then wait for the dam to just explode, you know, potentially flooding millions of acres or killing thousands of people. You know, these potentialities are there. And the reason why Finland is such a big deal is because Finland is on the northwest side of Russia, and closest to Finland is St. Petersburg. I mean, it's a probably a javelin missile launch away from St. Petersburg. And then from there, you have Finland, then you have Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Belarus. Belarus is on Russia's side. So that's their buffer between Poland and the Russian front. And Belarus is already committed to Ukraine. It's really going to go down to what does Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania decide to do? Are they going to be a participant, or are they going to stay neutral? Which I would probably suggest they stay neutral, but more than likely, NATO is going to bully them into cooperating with going against Russia. And you know, then at that point, Russia would say, my entire western flank from the northwest to the southwest is NATO. I can't go anywhere east because it's just the Pacific. At that point, it's just the Pacific on that side. So we really bottleneck them. We don't give Russia the ability to have an escape route geopolitically. You know, within law enforcement, we would call it kettling, where if we're going to do a mass arrest on people, the law says that we have to have an escape route for people to come out of, right? We're not giving Russia an escape route diplomatically. No. You know, there's been no diplomacy. You said this months ago. There's been no shadow of diplomacy yet. We keep escalating. There's been no de-escalation tactics yet. It's all been escalating. And even, I think it was one of my listeners sent this to me 2 days ago. Now throughout Russia, the men in Russia are getting draft orders.
Yes.
What's coming next?
Well, we know what's coming next. It will continue to escalate. These people desire a nuclear war. And I would say Putin, somebody will detonate nuclear weapons, I would say, in the near future. They might detonate two and just say, you did it during Nagasaki and Hiroshima. We've done the same thing. Tell us why we're wrong. You did it. We did it. You know, that's the thing. So, but that's just one data point. Again, if you look at this, this is a catastrophe. The Biden administration, I mean, our enemies could not have done a more destructive job on our nation than what we see going on right now by the very people that are in charge of our nation. From Homeland Security to, you know, now the Ministry of Truth, I mean, that's the Nazi stuff. You know, and just to give you historical reference, that's what Hitler did.
He put
his army on the Polish border with Russia, and even though there's a land, and he said, "Don't worry, we're not going to do anything." The Nazis and the Russians signed a non-aggression pact, and I remember reading the history. As soon as the Russians left that meeting, the Nazis tore up that Russian non-aggression pact. And then, you know, Stalin was wondering why they were amassing armies on their border. Was it Operation Barbarossa? And then the next thing they know, a wave of Nazis came into their country and murdered 20 million people. And the Russians were willing to pay that. That's a huge point that we need to keep in mind. The Russians were willing to pay that 20 million people to keep their country out of the hands of Nazis. And I'm telling you, they look at our country. If you read Vladimir Putin's speech, it doesn't matter whether you like him or not like him. It shows them into the mindset of Vladimir Putin. Censors would never have let the emotionalism go by that he expressed in that speech. But that's what he said. The United States is an empire of lies. He called us basically Nazis. And that's what he believes. So he sees the historical reference. What happened to him, you know, 70 years ago, and then what happened is what's going on now. He looks at it and says, you know, this is the same thing. that they're planning an invasion of my country. And, you know, he has those nuclear weapons available. Switzerland just came out. Neutral Switzerland just came out and said, we don't, the U.S. does not know what we're doing. We are provoking a nuclear war. That's what it's Switzerland said. Yeah. And so that's just another data point. I mean, the food, the unrest, the lawlessness, the inflation, you know, we see the baby formula. I mean, good grief, you know, baby formula, it's not there. Diesel and gasoline. I mean, my diesel prices have gone up about 50% in 2 weeks. Open borders where, you know, millions of illegals are coming into this country bringing fentanyl. I was talking, I mean, you probably dealt with this when you were in law enforcement. I was talking to some people in law enforcement, and they said it's just absolutely catastrophic. 103,000 Americans died last year from fentanyl. That's what, how many Americans died in the Iraq and Afghanistan war? 5,000? That's 20 times the amount in 1 year that are being done by drugs, and they refuse to close the border down. So drugs, human smuggling, child trafficking, all are coming across the border. This is just a 70,000 foot view. And then again, we see the moral collapse of America. I mean, I just watched this absolute bizarre freak show going on where, you know, I mean, what is Vermont, or what was it, New Hampshire or Vermont, just voted to put tampons in the boys' bathroom? I mean, it's like, it's insanity. I mean, they did. It's like, what for? I mean, do you really think a boy can have a period? Is that what you're saying? That's insanity.
That's what happens when you let the patients run the psych ward.
Yes. Well, that's exactly what's going on. And then right now we're facing a catastrophic drought in the West. I mean, Doug, this is stuff that ends nations. And we have to come to the facts of that. This is stuff that ends nations.
Do you find it interesting that so many things are happening one after the other? You know, it's not like, you know, this one thing happened this year and then the next year this cataclysm happened. It's literally been one thing piling upon each other. What do you think about that?
I watched a video recently, and a couple years ago in the Midwest, there were five tornadoes that touched down at the same time. I mean, it was amazing looking at five tornadoes, not for the poor people on the ground that suffered what those five tornadoes did. But I mean, you know, you think one tornado is bad enough, but when you have five set down and they're just wrecking havoc everywhere, and then you throw in an earthquake on top of it or whatever, this is what we're facing as a nation. It's deliberate. It's planned. These people said they're going to do it. Joe Biden said he was going to shut down all the oil. He's not going to give any more leases for oil. He said that during his campaign. That's what he's doing. He's trying to extricate himself from that by saying, I haven't done that, but he has. His own words indict him. So this is all deliberate to bring down the United States because they want this digital currency. And this is the real battle that we're facing right now, is the fact it's a paradigm between a digital currency with no privacy, where the government has every dollar that's exchanged between you and I, is it goes through their system. And, you know, when dollars go through the system, they get taxed. It might be reparations tax. It might be climate tax, whatever. So there's no privacy, and the government grafts off everything that happens. And they actually said this at the World Economic Forum. That's what they want. And then you have the other paradigm that wants to evidently have a more gold-backed currency. And if there's gold in the currency, you can have access to gold. What that allows is me to conduct a private transaction with you. When I can say, here, Doug, here's a gold eagle. I like that little rifle you have back there. You want to trade? That's a private transaction. See, and so those two paradigms are at conflict right now. And all wars are based on money. Really, there's not a noble war. I mean, it's all based on money some way or another, whether it's a response or whatever. I mean, even World War II, you know, the war industry in the United States made incredible amounts of money. The oil companies made incredible amounts of money for war. But so we have this paradigm of a digital currency, no privacy, no control. They can cut you out of the system versus a system where it's gold backed. So you still have some privacy. You can still conduct private transactions. And this Luciferian digital currency system cannot tolerate that. That's why I'm saying there will be a war, because that's the way it's working. That's all these things we're looking at. That's the bottom line of it. It's to quote Steve Quayle. It's a war on financial systems that the world is going to have. We live in a closed system. The world is a closed system. We don't trade people on Mars or anything. So there's only one economic system that's going to survive this war that we see happening. A economic system where privacy is still allowed, that I can still conduct a private transaction with you, as it says on our dollars. This note is good for all debts, public and private. I can still buy something directly from you, or a system that wants to know everything that I spend my money on. It will regulate how much tax I have to pay depending on what I'm buying. If I'm buying a gun, I might have to pay 100% tax on that. If I'm buying, whatever, some liberal thing, I can maybe get a tax credit back. So that's what the system we're facing is. And I'll tell you, if I read my Bible correctly, that system is probably going to win. And so for a short period of time. And that's what brings us to the point of what I tell people all the time. I mean, my triad of preparations, first and foremost, is I want to have the Lord God on my side, or I want to be on his side. I want to be infused with power from on high so that I can stand strong. I mean, these podcasts, I mean, there's a lot of people that don't like this kind of information getting out. So it puts you at a risk. But I've determined I'd rather stand before God, having done the mission he gave me to do, versus cowering back. So the first thing I want is that dynamic, the dunamos is what the Bible describes it. Dunamos, the power of God. That's where we get the word dynamite from. That's the Greek word, dunamos. And so I want to be filled with that, so I'm bold as a lion. Second of all, I want to surround myself by good moral people, people that will encourage me, strengthen me, that'll share the scripture with me, give their wise insights about things. And then the last thing is, food is going to be the coercion. It's lining up right now to be the coercion. Food and fuel. Fuel gives you freedom, because with fuel I can travel from here to there and go anywhere I want. And food gives you the freedom to explore what you want to do. In fact, food freedom allows for scientific discovery, allows for literary discovery, literary creation, because if I'm not having to spend all day long just trying to acquire the food I need to live, I have time to explore the arts or other things. And that's what they're trying to destroy. I was watching Elon Musk say, how come in 1969 we went to the moon? And today, and then from there, we made a space shuttle. And that was a degrading technology, because that was low Earth orbit. And now we don't have anything. It's going backwards. We're losing it, because, again, people are, the system is designed to destroy human incentive. They use need to do that. I have to jump through all these hoops. I have to make sure I'm politically correct. And it's encapsulating humanity into this chain of tyranny right now. And so the system that offers freedom, they will destroy it if they can. And that's where we're at.
I agree with you. When it comes to the moon mission, the lunar mission, and flat earthers will probably beat us up over this, but just hear me out, fellas. I think if you look at the whole lunar mission, it was to surpass the Soviet Union and to claim dominance, on that next frontier, right? However, that frontier never really got completely captured or dominated. And I think because technology came so far and so advanced to get us onto the moon, to get us at least into geosync orbit, that we then turned everything downward. Everything was pointed upward to the heavens to explore. Well, once we got there, we figured out, well, there's not too much that we can really take from this, but the technology boosted us on another level. They then turned half of that technology into a surveillance state. And instead of exploring the stars, they decided to put an iron curtain over the world. And I think that's part of the reason why the technology stopped going to the stars, because the elite get to go to the stars. They need to control us so that we never get the chance to dream that way, right? Here's another part. I'm a nerd for history, and I'm especially for World War II. One of the reasons why Hitler broke up that aggression act, or the anti-aggression act against Russia, was because of the oil field. just past Ukraine, which Ukraine donated the most troops to the Waffen SS for the German Wehrmacht. They had the biggest amount. There was over 33 nations that donated troops to the Waffen SS, but Ukraine had the second most amount of SS troops. Because by that point in time, the SS was close to 500,000 strong. I mean, people really don't understand just the level and size that this military was, especially their panzer divisions. So they pushed eastward because that was what Heinrich Himmler and Adolf Hitler dreamed about, their eastward expansion for the Aryan nations. Well, they declared that the Slavic nations were an inferior group, so eventually they're going to come after them anyways. But for the main time, to fill the German war machine, the Wehrmacht, they had to capture the oil fields. And that's when Stalin started going, okay, now you've crossed the line. You're coming after our cash, our oil. So it's always been about oil with Russia. Russia is a oil-rich nation. And every nation around Russia is mineral-rich. We've already gone over this with Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan.
What are we doing today to Russia? No oil.
Yeah.
We're going after oil today.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I personally believe if we do a regime change in Russia, it'll be to capture the oil fields. And there's plenty of other things that are out there that Russia has for natural resources. One thing that people don't understand is timber. The amount of timber.
Absolutely. Just get ready to say that.
Yeah. And the other thing, probably about 4 or 5 years ago, there was the propaganda that was introduced that Russia has a submersible mothership that can launch the drone, the nuclear suicide drone. And part of that was to have a, I don't know, however many megatons of a nuclear explosion under the water. And it would create this massive 1,000-foot tsunami. It would capture the West Coast. What would stop Russia? Because I believe they have that technology. Because if they have it, we have it. If we have this technology and it's deployable, instead of launching the ICBMs, instead of causing MAD, the mutually assured destruction, what would stop a nation like Russia from hitting us in a panzer-like movement on either side, consuming the coast in radioactive water? I mean, that amount of water, Bob, is going to destroy everything. It'll ruin everything.
Well, you remember in the 50s, the Russians did detonate a SAR bomb, which was a 50 megaton bomb. And they dialed it back because they were originally detonated as a 100 megaton bomb, but they dialed it back. And I think the fireball went out about 5 miles. The thermal blast went out about 26 miles. Anything within 26 miles was flash burnt to death. It was enormous. I mean, just enormous. And that was only half the size that they wanted to make it. I remember when they did the Bikini Atoll, I forgot the name of it, but they actually made a mistake. The Americans, they thought they were detonating a 5 megaton bomb. And it because of the way they didn't understand the way the fusion was going to work, it ended up as a 15 megaton bomb. And that's why all those people on the Bikini Atoll down there they had to leave their islands.
It was operation.
For thousands of miles.
I believe that was Operation Starfish, which is also where we discovered the electromagnetic pulse as well.
Yeah, Starfish. And because of the way they did the deuterium, if they didn't realize it would, you know, become a fissible material, they thought it was a non-fissible material and it turned into a fissible material, but whatever. But we've seen what these kind of weapons will do, the massive amount of power that's released. And so we know the Russians have that type of weapon, have that type of technology to develop it. And if they put it off our coast, there's YouTube videos you can watch what would happen if a 100 megaton bomb detonated off our coast, right off the continental shelf, so that the wave of water would hit the continental shelf, which would drive it straight up and then come ashore and just go miles inland, destroying everything in its path.
Well,
and
so much. People don't understand the amount of damage to the wildlife by pushing that much water from the ocean into fresh water. You're damaging the entire, you know, water table at that point. Everything that was within the freshwater tributaries and rivers, streams, creeks, it all gets contaminated. And let's say not just by nuclear radioactive water, but just the salt water alone will contaminate, backwashing everything, and it will ruin your entire ecosphere. Everything would be ruined.
Your farmland is ruined. Salt, exactly. Salt will kill the farmland.
Exactly.
And then all the fish that's from the continental shelf into there would be washed ashore. So you'd lose a massive amount of protein that the world, United States, lives on via fish. So that would all be gone. And this is what we're literally pushing for, Doug. This is the insanity of what they're pushing for right now. Again, Kennedy handled it masterfully. I think as best as he could have handled it, because he had General LeMay wanting the nuclear war, and he wanted to de-escalate. LeMay, I remember even during the height of the Cuban Missile Crisis, said they had a test launch ICBM. And, you know, Kennedy freaked out of it. Who authorized that test? Well, I mean, they just did it. And you know, it was highly provocatory. Kennedy knew it was highly provocatory. Khrushchev knew it was highly provocatory. Thank God the nuclear weapons didn't fly at that time. But Kennedy de-escalated. He gave Khrushchev the way out of it. They made a back channel agreement to take the missiles out of Turkey. And we would not do quid pro quo, but we de-escalated it. This is what concerns me the most. Everything I've seen over the last 2 months is done to escalate this situation. And it's not only hurting the Ukrainians, but it's hurting Western Europe. And it's not so much as hurting Russia. A lot of Russian rubles gained its value back because, I mean, all their natural gas, timber, China's willing to buy it all. And other nations that are aligning now with China are willing to buy this. And they're setting up their own currency. So I think this thing is going to really backfire on us. Excuse me when I turn this off. Is going to really backfire on us. And we see it doing it right now. All the shortages we have, the wheat, the corn, a fertilizer, it's all done because of absolutely pathetic foreign policy this administration is perpetrating, not only on us, but on the world. They're bringing the world to the brink of destruction. They're bringing the United States, which is an energy consuming nation, to the brink of bringing it to its knees. Because, you know, when diesel stops, which, I mean, they're talking $7-$8 a gallon for diesel in just a few weeks. There's a critical shortage of diesel coming. All your delivery trucks, your tractor trailers, they run on diesel. Farm equipment runs on diesel. The big ships run on diesel. And when that doesn't, it's going to go up in value. It's not going to be there. It's going to be the baby formula. It just won't be there. And this is what the administration is perpetrating on the American people right now.
And also the hospitals. The hospitals and government buildings all have diesel backup generators, typically Generac, very good generator. And typically they are stored for 96 hours, so 4 days worth of fuel, and then a fuel resupply. So you can obviously see also that the government would be hoarding enough fuel for these, you know, large level 3, level 4 facilities. And also the states would be hoarding the fuel for the refuel of the generators for the hospitals, or also the prisons, the jails.
Okay, here hoarding. You know, when we're hoarding, it's conspiracy theory. When you and I buy stuff, but when the government does it, we hoard with our own money. The government hoards with our money too, because that's the money they use, is the money we have. But I was just talking to people over at Mountain House Food the other day, which they have shut down their dealer portal. It's been shut down, so I can't go and buy anything from Mountain House, pouches or cans, nothing. And yet they told me that they're still filling contracts. And that was too juicy a piece of fruit not to pick. So I started asking questions about it. And they're filling government contracts, U.S. government contracts. And they were told that the rate of those contracts being fulfilled has been sped up because of the Ukraine war. So we have Department of Homeland Security or other agencies within the government that are still buying the Mountain House food. They're filling government contracts, which the government does have first right to that food. They voted themselves that right. That's how nice. So this has happened with Augustin Farms. So, you know, there's still enough food in the supply chain to keep people, I think, dumb and happy. And yet it's quickly running out. We were talking to a man who actually manages a massive amount of food distribution in the United States. And he was saying, just wait 6 months, and see what happens. And when it happens, if you know, I just say, if I looked at what happened during COVID and people got unglued because I wasn't wearing a mask, what's going to happen when you have people that don't have food in their bellies? I mean, they were worried about not having enough toilet paper. I mean, you know, I never did figure that out. You know, if I have 2 weeks worth of food in my house and 3 months worth of toilet paper, listen, that's not a hard equation to figure out. You got to put it in to get it out, you know? So it's just like, I mean, it's like, okay, whatever, you know, but when the food does shut down, we have such an entitled generation. And the guy from BlackRock said this, that millennials are going to face a reality that they've never had to face before. And that is, when they go to the grocery store, they're not going to find what they're used to finding. This is not Bob and Doug's conspiracy hour. This is what they're telling us. The president of the United States, you know, I don't call him that. You know, what did it say? 2,000 mules to elect one jackass, you know, but anyhow, sorry, hope that passes the censors. But they're telling us that the food is disappearing and we see it happening. And yet the majority of Americans don't want to believe it. And I think the reality of it's going to hit. And even if we do get a Donald Trump or DeSantis back in, they're not going to fix this immediately if it can be fixed. I don't know if the supply chain can be fixed at this point because it's a global supply chain. Once the ships shut down, because all of a sudden we needed 1,000 ships at the height of the delivery system, and once over the last 4 or 5 years that's been catastrophically damaged, and now there's only 250 ships in that service. You know, you've got 750 ships not there anymore. That takes a long time to put all that back into the equation to get the delivery systems back up to where they were. It could take a decade, if not more. And I'm telling you, if the food breaks down in this country, which it is going to break down, there are going to be people taken to the streets. And they're going to raid the supermarkets. So, I mean, they'll be damaged physically. So then the refrigeration units won't work. The power plants won't work. I mean, the infrastructure of the United States is so vulnerable right now. I mean, you know, it goes back all the way to that Rambo movie where he shoots a transformer and it turns the power off. I mean, believe me, people know how to do that. This isn't something we're telling people. They know how to do that. And that's what we're going to see in mass, because there's an element in this country, a large element that is hostile to the United States. At that moment, they're going to go on a free fall of bringing down the infrastructure any way they can. Electrical, water, communication, they're extremely vulnerable. And maybe even the gas plants. It's not hard to, you know, find out where a gas line's at and to destroy it, because it says do not dig here, gas line. So all that infrastructure is extremely vulnerable. There's 17 elements of our infrastructure, you know, communications, hospitals, transportation, all that. They're all vulnerable. It's all extremely vulnerable, especially to cyber hacking, but even just to some lone, you know, wolf guy who just wants to go out and ruin everybody's day and turn the power off. The substations in America are just in the wide open. There's no protection of these substations, which one 50 caliber round could turn off a $5 million transformer.
Well, you don't have to and you don't have to have a 50 cal. It's funny, I'm going to say this because, like, I love Tannerite, and I wish they would sponsor the show, heads up Tannerite. But at the same time, you can go to Walmart and buy literal explosives. You know, I mean, it's the chemistry is right there, which I always found to be very interesting. The government won't let you have a suppressor. A suppressor does nothing. In Europe, a suppressor
illegal.
Yeah, in Europe, a suppressor is the same as a flashlight. But here it's illegal. And it's illegal because we're corrupt. But it doesn't take much of nothing to break the glass jaw of America, which is the electrical grid. And people don't understand just how critical the grid is. It is interconnected. Between the SCADA systems that were developed in the 1980s, which is, if you don't know what a SCADA system is, between the anything that has to do with spreading electricity, water, gas, like propane or natural gas, even all the way up to the nuclear reactors, the SCADA systems are computers that tell, I guess you could say, gates to open and close consistently. So You know, my computer says, hey, open this flood valve and close this flood valve. That's how we let pressures in and out. Well, there's been catastrophic episodes across America and also in Europe where when a SCADA system failed, an enormous eruption happened and people died. So just imagine if you had the ability to strategically attack certain locations and make that happen, or you just had it, you know, cataclysmically across the country because now there's no power. You know, we don't understand the ramifications of that, Bob, because we haven't seen it yet, but we've seen it on a micro scale. We can't really fathom what it is on a macro scale. And let me ask you a question. Let's go back to the submarine nuclear bomb. Because, and I mean, if we're really going to get into World War III, we need to start talking about super weapons because that's what's going to be used. If they were able to launch this type of nuclear drone and it explodes, would we also have, I guess you could say, coinciding the explosion, the tsunami, major tectonic movements along the fault lines that could also, you know.
You know what hydraulic shock is? How do you lift? How can I take, you know, a quart of hydraulic fluid and lift a 10-ton tractor? Because fluid dynamics, if you know anything about fluid dynamics, it just what happens when you get hit when you're in the surf and you get hit with a wave? Even if the crest of the wave, if just the swell passes you, if you're in the water, that swell pushes you. And so, yes, when you have that type of catastrophic detonation, hydraulic dynamics come into play and it can shatter and rupture a tectonic plate. Absolutely, it can.
Yeah, because there's a lot of weight now on top of that plate.
Yeah, exactly. And then you send a shock wave of water to it. That's exactly what happens. That's why you have such a tall tsunami, because, you know, 300 miles off the coast of the United States, that's where the water goes a couple thousand feet deep to miles deep. And so when that shock wave of water hits that continental shelf, it only has one way to go, and that's up, and it goes up. So, but I've talked about the communications. You know, we are putting together something like this. This is what I call SDR radio. This is what it is. And the nice thing about that is you can actually see people transmitting. Now, this doesn't have an antenna hooked to it, but this is what I'm telling people. You need to get hooked up on this. I'm going to get you hooked up on it. But I can just listen to this and listen to people talking all over the country. If I need to communicate, I can communicate with people. You know, another thing. This is a small radiation meter. I leave it on my desk, 6 millirads. That's background radiation. If something starts going off, these are $158. If something starts going off, I know what's going to happen. And you talked about hacking things. Here's another piece of equipment. See this right here? This thing is, you talked about Tannerite being legal. I can't believe this thing is legal. There's good purposes you can do with this. But with this piece of equipment right here, you push your key fob on your car one time, I pick up the signal with this, and then I can either keep you out of your car, or when you're gone, I can get in your car. I can replicate any signal with this thing. It's Bob, perfect.
Bob, how much is the radio?
Well, we're actually putting a package together that's going to have a nice Maxpedition backpack. It'll have a solar panel, a battery, all of it, and it's going to be right around $2,000. But you're not going to have antenna, everything you need, except the understanding of how to use it. So we're putting these together. I mean, I am thoroughly impressed with this. It's made in China. It picks up anywhere from, 1.8 megahertz up to 50 megahertz. And so I can just listen with it. And with SDR radio, I can actually see where people are transmitting, and I can dial my dial right to it and listen to what they were saying. We were at a Bible study the other day with some guys. We were talking to 5 states with this and just a little bitty wire antenna.
Yeah, I know me and you on the down low, we've been talking about this piece of equipment for quite some time. You know, we talk about how to properly prepare the American rifleman, right? And here's my stance on this. And there's quite a few listeners of the show who I believe agree with me or even like the fact that I view things like this. I don't think if America comes under attack, the only people who will be thwarting the enemy will be the military and the police. I think the larger majority of that would be the American riflemen, the original frontiersmen, the original people who gathered together, the original patriots who fought off the British. I still think those people live in America, Bob. I still think those people are more than willing and capable of of helping this country.
Joe Biden just described those people as the greatest existential threat America's ever faced. Yeah, that's, he just said that. People that's, that you just described are the greatest existential threat that people have ever faced. I get very popular this afternoon. But anyhow, so yeah, that's their mindset.
Joe Biden has effectively turned himself into King George.
King George, I would say more Joseph Stalin.
Yeah. Well, that's coming. That's coming.
I don't know if he's what do they call it, channeling Joseph Stalin or Mao Zedong or Adolf Hitler. Maybe he's channeling all three of them. But that's what he's saying. 80 million Americans are the greatest danger existentially America has ever faced. Greater than ISIS, greater than China, greater than Russia. It's you and me. We're the greatest threat. That's why I'm telling you, you need to get out of the system. If you're operating on a network communication system, because when this happens, the nuclear war, whatever happens, your comms are going down. Yeah. They will go down. Your sat phone, your cell phone, all of it's going down. The only thing that's going to be up and operational is equipment like this. And like I said, you can see there's no battery pack to it. This has an internal battery to it.
And how easy is that to put into a Faraday bag?
When the kit we make with it, it comes in a nice Mac. It has a Faraday bag in it, so you can stick it right inside there. I have it right here. Excuse me. See, it'll come with this Faraday bag right here. So you just put that radio in it, and it's protected from an EMP pulse with this piece of equipment right here.
See, this is something that I know that me and you constantly try to tell people. If you want to be, I guess you say, professionally prepared for this, don't buy cheap gear. You know, I'm not saying take a mortgage out on night vision and helmets and optics and all this other stuff, but don't buy cheap gear. There's a reason why the military doesn't buy its gear from Amazon. You know, there's a reason why we spend the money to have the good quality gear. And it's not that expensive, Bob. You know, I mean, you know, some people will pay $2,000 for a tattoo, but they won't buy something like that. It's because people's priorities are not where I believe they should be.
I can go across multiple bands with this. The government transmits on HF. They transmit in code, but I know what frequencies, what government agencies are transmitting on. I know what frequencies, and it's public domain, so I'm not saying anything. You can just go and type in EAM frequencies, emergency action, and you'll see the frequencies that EAMs are transmitted on. You won't understand it because it's going to be very sophisticatedly encoded, but you can't hide the signature. You can't hide the electromagnetic signature of it. You're going to pick it up and say, wow, somebody's transmitting on EAMs right now, and there's quite a few of them going out. That's intelligence. You can see it happening. So radio like this, to me, as I've delved into radio over the last decade, I have absolutely just, you know, buried myself in it because I just see the strategic importance of it. And I think most people think it's just using walkie-talkies back and forth. And you go to Matt Everett's Brush Beater course and you're going to see, you know, what radio is really for in a crisis situation, how you can serve your community and gain the intelligence that gives you the advantage in any fight, because intelligence drives the fight. I don't care how good your army is. I don't care how many super sophisticated high speed weapons they have. If they don't have good intelligence via, you know, signals intercepts and other forms of intelligence gathering, they are probably not going to do well or near as well as they could do if they had proper signals and intercepts. And that's what this gives me the ability to do. Plus, you know, HF signals are a lot harder to track than UHF and VHF signals. UHF and VHF signals go horizontally. UHF signals tend to go up and they bounce off the ionosphere. That's what allows them to skip around the planet. That's what this does.
Hey, Bob, let's give a definition real quick, because, you know, some people are laymen. Not everyone understands our technical terms. What is signals intelligence?
Signals intelligence means I'm listening to radio of one sort of another. There's an electromagnetic signature, and it doesn't have to be audible. A lot of it is not audible. You can actually go to different websites and listen to the encoded frequencies of the Iranians, the Russians, whatever, and then you can hear it and try to match those up. I mean, that's not hard to do, but it's intercepting those types of signals where you can gain advantage through intelligence over what your enemy's doing. That's what signals intercept does. I mean, the first thing, Doug, when you ever talk to me, regardless of what the liberals say, Griswold's a guy. He's a man. I can tell because your voice is your most exploitable asset. That's why I tell people, again, I'll do, excuse me for being a little thing, but I want to show you. This is why I tell people to do this. Excuse me here while I get it. Come on. My phone doesn't want to cooperate. Come on. Okay. Stand by. This is why I tell people to download this. Well, let me turn the volume back up. I turn it down so well. Okay. I'll do it again.
Your voice is your most exploitable asset.
That's a text-to-speech program you can put on your cell phone. So I don't have to give my voice away. I can change the volume. I can actually change the speed. Make it sound more feminine.
Voice is your most exploitable asset.
There's so much I can change with it.
Your voice is your most.
So, I mean, that's kind of, you know, non-productive to have it at that speed, but.
Asset.
But anyhow, so that's intelligence, just whether you're male or female. The age, I can tell you're younger than me just by the voice, you know? So there's all kinds of things that you do when you do signals intercepts. One of the big things is people have to realize this piece of equipment, even though I can use it to talk to my friends, I'm in Tennessee, I could talk to someone in Illinois with it, and we could go back and forth. We were doing that, like I said, at the Bible study the other day. I use this to listen. The big thing is with any intelligence gathering, whether it's human intelligence gathering or signals intelligence gathering, it's the thing of listening. Most you and I, we both are natural talkers. And, you know, if I am interrogating somebody, interviewing them, I call interrogation by via conversation. You know, I have a goal of what I want to do, and I just start talking to them. But I ask a question, and I let the person talk because I want to hear what they have to say. It's not important what I have to say. I already know what I think, but I want to hear what they have to say. So I bring up a little bit, just enough to get the conversation going and let them talk. That's what radio does for you. It gives you the ability to listen to other people talk. I mean, my son and I were listening to this preacher. And it's just like, this is different. I mean, he was using every swear word, including God's name, in vain. All the four-letter ones, telling somebody why they needed Jesus. I mean, it was like surreal. You know, it was like, oh my gosh, Joshua's going, Dad, I've never heard a preacher like that before. But I mean, that paints a picture about this person. And so the signals intercept, again, you need it for your community. You need it outside your community, but the main place you want it is inside your community, because if there's bad elements operating in your community, they're going to probably be using a radio transmission.
But would you use this bag as like a radio base station? Because obviously if it's a bag filled full of the comm equipment, the communications equipment, we wouldn't want to be taxing that around while we're on any type of patrolling operations, or while we're, you know, doing any type of real reconnaissance stuff, when we can use more basic means of radio, like, you know, a usual two-way radio.
This is good. This type of radio is good for short distance communication, short distance listening. But again, listening, because since this does pick up short distance, even though I'm not allowed to transmit on it, on MERS and GMRS, that's MERS and GMRS are the frequencies that the radios you buy at Walmart and Sports Authority operate on. I can listen to those frequencies on this. Now, again, you're not allowed to transmit on it. You're not supposed to, but those radios, even though they say 26 miles or 30 miles, or whatever, will only literally travel about a half a mile. So if I hear somebody using those frequencies on this radio, that's intelligence all by itself, telling me I've got people with the sophisticated equipment, radio equipment, within a half a mile of me. And you have two of these, and you can direction find somebody with two of these radios. You can direction find them. So it might be worth a sneak and peek at that point, you know, when you find out where they're at. So again, this is a point-to-point communication device. It does not go through a network system, so I can communicate to you a mile away without having to go through anything, and that's why I so strongly promote this type of equipment, because it, when the collapse happens and you're going to need to gain intelligence, you're going to need to gain it locally as well as nationally, but locally especially, because as I tell people, I live in Tennessee. If zombies are eating people in Alaska, I don't care that much. It's not going to bother me. But if zombies are eating people in teleco planes, I better know about it because that's where I live. And so my intelligence gathering is going to be basically local. And there's things I can show you to do with radios. You know, I want to authenticate Doug Thornton, that he's really Doug Thornton. Well, if just a little pre-planning allows me to know that. Each day, if a calendar has a certain number on it. Say today's number was 13. So I would say, Doug, authenticate 8. And we know the number's 13. So you would say, I authenticate 5. 5 and 8. The common core math is probably 2,800,000 or something. But in real math, it's 13. You know, so that way to authenticate, because you and I had done the pre-planning to define those numbers for each day. And I can authenticate that with high probability that that's really Doug Thornton talking to me.
Well, according to the kids, math is racist. So the 5 probably identifies as a 6.
Yeah,
we got 2 minutes left. Let people know where they can find all your stuff and if you got anything coming up.
Well, we do have training courses coming up. We're looking to do the one you have in September with you and Jamie Walden, which would be a great time to meet with you and, you know, just sit down and just discuss and pick your brains on just situational awareness, operation techniques, all kinds of things. So that date, that's going to be posted soon. We have a fighting carbine course coming up. You can go to brushbeater.org and look up that course. And then we also have a signals intercept intelligence gathering sources and methods class coming up. It's going to be 4-day class. So you take 2 days of carbine, 2 days of the signals course. You don't have to take them both. You can take one or the other or both. And then in August, we also have Stuck Pig Medical. Chris is coming out to teach another TCC, I guess he's there, Tactical Combat Casualty Care. So that course, and my son took that course and he said, Dad, I've learned so much during this course. But those things are coming up because we do believe knowledge is really an empowering thing. And so just learning how to use this equipment is so empowering. And during a crisis, you know, I'm going to want to network with my law enforcement. I'm going to network with the churches. I'm going to network with good people so that we can keep the bad elements out. And this is some of the equipment that's absolutely critical because I'm going to be doing signals intercept. Believe me, if the Bloods and Crips or MS-13 or, you know, any of them want to start operating, they will be using radio. They might be using one-time pad codes, but I'll still pick it up. And if I hear one-time pad codes being used, I know at that point we have very sophisticated elements operating in our community.
Right. So, that's right. And, you know, you got to use your strengths. With law enforcement, we're using human intelligence all the time, and then you pass them on to, you know, your signals.
This radiation meter, we have all this equipment available. This is like $158. So if something happens, you know, people ask me, how do you know? Well, you know, cows are the bellwether for checking radiation because cows eat grass. The radiation's on the grass. It gets into their milk. The calcium in the milk absorbs the radiation, so you can actually check it. This meter's sensitive enough to check it. You can see it. You can put it in your pocket and carry it around. It has digital alert. It has data logging. So I know if I get 5 rads today, 5 rads the next day, 5, you know, it accumulates. It tells me my accumulated dose. So this type of thing's available right now, and I just encourage anybody, and anybody has questions, they can call me at 800-627-3809. I'll be glad to talk to you about putting a radio program together. If you need nods or anything of that sort, we do offer financing on them. You know, so it's all equipment that's available. But I'm telling you, in the 30 years I've been doing ready-made resources, I've never seen the supply chain like this, where the demand is high, the raw material is not there, and the labor to put the material into the hands of people, it's just not there. People don't want to work.
Yeah, it's scary times. And, you know, every day, like every 12 hours, something new happens. A new factory blows up or a new threat comes our way. So, you know, people be prepared. And as long as you have people like Ready Made Resources and Bob Griswold who are willing to help you, you know, even if you don't spend anything, if you're concerned about your prepping, just give Bob a call and let him try and talk you through the process. He's a wealth of knowledge. And I appreciate the hell out of having people like you on our side. You know, because there are plenty of times where people don't understand just how important, you know, men like you are within our community. So, you know, thank you, Bob. Bob's also one of our sponsors. So we greatly appreciate Bob and all the work that he does. Ladies and gentlemen, that's all we got for you right now. My name is Doug Thornton. You've been listening to me and Bob Griswold from Ready Made Resources. We're out of here.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.